The house will be in order. The prayer today will be offered by Trevor Pinniger, pastor of Federation Church of Bondurant. He is the guest of Representative Losey of Polk and Senator Nunn of Polk. Following the prayer, the pledge will be led by Allie Walker, Paige from Eddyville.
House of Representatives of the great state of Iowa, as a citizen of Iowa, I want to thank you for your service and all that you do. A job with little pay and a lot of stress. You make our state better, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart as one of your pastors. I'm so blessed to be able to know my representative and my senator, and I know that you do a great job of informing your pastors of who you are and how you work to make their lives better. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day in the state of Iowa. We pray for all those who are cold, for all those seeking warmth. And Lord, we pray that you would warm our hearts and allow us to do what you call us to do, to be strong and resolute, to speak for those who can't speak for themselves, to consider what is important for our state and for our people. Thank you for blessing us with this great opportunity to serve, to give of our time and our efforts, our intelligence and compassion. May we do this with dignity and respect to all those in this place. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The House will give attention to the correction of the journal. The journal stands approved. Introduction of bills.
House File 2464 by Shipley, a bill for an act increasing the separation distance between a confinement feeding operation structure and certain locations, making penalties applicable and including effective date provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Agriculture.
House File 2465 by Pritchard and others, a bill for an act relating to pharmacy benefit managers and the cost of prescription drug benefits and including applicability provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Commerce.
House File 2466 by Pritchard and others, a bill for establishing a mental health and disability services risk pool and risk pool board, making appropriations and including effective date provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Human Resources.
House File 2467 by Pritchard and others, a bill for an act relating to the expansion of the first five programs statewide and making an appropriation.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Human Resources.
House File 2468 by Anderson, a bill for an act creating a victim restitution fund.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Judiciary.
House File 2469, a bill for an act exempting the state sales and use of sales tax price and tangible personal property and specific digital sold and services furnished to nonprofit nursing facilities.
First reading of the bill is ready for commitment or amendment referred to Committee on Ways and Means.
House File 2470 by Committee on State Government, a bill for an act relating to the qualifications for holding professional licensures in the state, including the granting of licensure to persons licensed in other states and acquiring residency in Iowa, disqualification provisions for criminal convictions and waiver of application fees and license discipline and including effective date provisions.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment amendment referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
House File 2471 by Shipley, a bill for an act related to human services, juvenile justice, including child custody, child in need of assistance, and family in need of assistance proceedings, establishing the Department of Family Stabilization and Preservation, including penalties and including effective date provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment for the Committee on Judiciary.
House File 2472 by Committee on State Government, a bill for an act relating to the final disposition and dismemberment of human remains.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment placed on the calendar.
House File 2473 by Committee on Judiciary, a bill for an act creating the criminal offense of defrauding of a drug and alcohol test and providing penalties.
First reading bill is now ready for commitment amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2474 by Committee on Judiciary, a bill for an act relating to the confidentiality of information filed with the court to secure an arrest warrant.
First reading bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2475 by Committee on Environmental Protection, a bill for an act relating to the review and permitting of sewer extensions and water supply distribution system extensions and including effective date provisions.
First reading bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2476 by Committee on Transportation, a bill for an act relating to the responsibility of timber buyers and persons transporting timber and providing penalties.
First reading of the bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2477 by Committee on State Government, a bill for an act relating to the county regulations of certain agricultural experiences.
First reading of the bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2478 by Committee on Human Resources, a bill for an act relating to fetal death and including the disposition and human remains and the filing of fetal death certificates and providing penalties.
First reading of the bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2479 by Committee on Transportation, a bill for an act regarding persons who are deemed independent contractors when performing services while operating certain vehicles.
First reading bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2480 by Committee on Human Resources, a bill for an act relating to the informed consent of medical abortion and providing penalties.
First reading bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2481 by Committee on Local Government, a bill for an act relating to the validity of certificates of the treasurer.
First reading bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2482 by Committee on Economic Growth, a bill for an act providing for the study regarding the identification, establishment, and promotion of state historical sites and including effective date provisions.
First reading bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2483 by Committee on Economic Growth, a bill for an act requiring a study and a report on revitalization and updating rest areas.
First reading bill is in order for commitment or amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2484 by Committee on Local Government, a bill for an act relating to the employment of county engineers.
First reading bill is in order for commitment amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2485 by Committee on Human Resources, a bill for an act establishing an exception to the number of children allowed to be present for child care at one time in the child development home under certain conditions.
First reading bill is in order for commitment amendment placed on calendar.
House File 2486 by Committee on Local Government, a bill for an act relating to the design and use of county seal.
First reading bill is in order for commitment amendment placed on calendar. This time the chair will recognize the lady from Wapello, Representative Gaskell, for her presentation on Black History Month.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the Iowa House of Representatives. I stand here today to celebrate the life of an important Iowan whose resolve and tenacity epitomizes why we celebrate Black History Month. I want to share the story of an Ottumwan whose service to this nation should never be forgotten, Robert W. Williams, a member of the famed Tuskegee Airmen. Both Williams and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. grew up in the bondage of racism that infiltrated every class and profession, every walk of life in this country in the century following the Civil War. Black men may have been freed when the North won the war, but most blacks still struggled on a daily basis against the adversities of too many white mindsets. Dr. King was born in 1929 in Atlanta, Georgia, deep in the heart of the South, with a dense black population, and Williams was born 7 years earlier in 1922 in Ottumwa, a community where the population was primarily Caucasian. At the time both of these men reached their prime, racial bias was still rampant nationwide. It's not known if Dr. King and Williams ever met, but maybe the two men shared a like mindset. King was quoted as saying, "A nation or civilization that continues to produce soft-minded men purchases its own spiritual death on the installment plan." What does this have to do with Robert Williams? In Williams' obituary, his family shared Robert W. Williams, the persistent patriarch of the Tuskegee Airmen, spent 43 years bringing the significance of that all-black flight squadron to the public's attention. That's a testament to the fact that Williams was a tenacious man with a tenacity comparable to that which King demonstrated. In the late 1930s, Williams' father became a pilot, and he encouraged his sons to learn to fly. Robert, his father, and his brother became three of the only 102 black pilots in the United States at that time. After the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, Williams tried to join the Army Air Corps, but was denied because of his race. In late 1942, he was allowed to join the Army, entering the military in Des Moines. He was sent to the Pilot Training Center at Tuskegee University in Alabama. He segregated training facility that would train about 450 black pilots for World War II. Robert graduated third in his class and was assigned to the 332nd Fighter Group, 15th Air Force, the first squadron of black combat fighter pilots. The Tuskegee Airmen, as they became known, destroyed 260 enemy planes, damaged an additional 145, and sank a Nazi ship. Not one U.S. bomber was lost while flying under their protection. First, the 332nd Fighter Group was sent overseas in deployment called Operation Torch over northern Africa. In the beginning, most of their service took place on the ground. However, it soon became evident the Red Tails Angels, as they came to be called, were needed in Sicily and Italy. The moniker came about when they painted their aircraft tails a bright red and then went on to perform with distinction. Once they had a taste of success, they didn't stop there. Pilots began specifically requesting the Red Tails as their escort bombers. Here is where their distinction came to be recognized. They went on to fly missions over Italy, Germany, and Czechoslovakia. Williams became a decorated hero, receiving the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Air Medal with six oak leaf clusters, and the Presidential Distinction Unit Citation, among others. He was discharged from the Army in 1947. But when the war was over, Williams couldn't get a job in the air, flying a plane anywhere in the United States. He attended Temple University and UCLA and spent the remainder of his life in Southern California. He worked in advertising, sales, public relations, and communications, and was president of True Image Productions, Incorporated. He also became an actor, which led him to write a screenplay, according to his obituary in the Los Angeles Times, specifically about the story of the first squadron of black combat fighter pilots and the vanguard of nearly 1,000 black flyers who overcame racism for the right to serve their country and emerged from the war weathered with honor, but with little public acclaim. Eventually, HBO produced the film the film Tuskegee in the 1995, 43 years after Williams began seeking acclaim for the Tuskegee Airmen. Time television critic Howard Rosenberg said about the film at the time, the latest in a string of historical pearls. George Lucas put $58 million of his own money into the January 2012 release of The Red Tails. The most recent movie production honoring these heroes of World War II aviator history, Robert Williams is never mentioned in the movie, nor are any of the men who served with him. Still, the characters in the movie are loosely based on Williams' life, and he and his fellow squadron members battle racism to serve their country on the European war front. a nation of civilization that continued to produce soft-minded men, purchases its own spiritual death on the installment plan, Dr. King said, except for the Robert Williams of this world, the George Lucases of this world. Stories like the story of the Red Tails might simply go untold. King knew it. Williams knew it. Robert Waylon Williams died on September 8, 1997 in Los Angeles. But now at a time when the U.S. politics is mired in personal agendas, the release of the HBO film as well as the cinematic film Red Tails, Williams' epic story of racial bigotry seems to be timely in this age of division in our country. And thank you very much for listening.
The chair recognizes the gentleman for Dallas, Representative Judge, for purpose to seek the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Am I in order for an introduction?
You're in order.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. It's my privilege today to introduce one of my residents, plus a job shadow for the day, Australia Pro. Australia is going to graduate in 2 months with a master's degree at the University of Louisville, and she is here in social work, and she's here today as a job shadow. So would you please help me give her a warm house welcome.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Floyd, Representative Pritchard.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Democrats will caucus immediately upstairs following this morning's business.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, Republicans will caucus immediately upon conclusion of floor action here this morning. And if there's no further business to come before the House, I move the House to adjourn until Friday, February 21st at 9 a.m.
Chair recognizes the lady from Wapello, Representative Gaskill. For what purpose do you seek the floor?
Point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
We reach that time. You're in order.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, as a member of the Iowa Commission on Aging, I feel it's important that I speak on the floor about protecting aging Iowans and bringing your attention to issues going on within the Office of the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman. The Long-Term Care Ombudsman program is federally mandated and is tasked with protecting the rights of over 55,000 Iowans residing in long-term care facilities around the state. Unfortunately, over the last 2 years, the program has eroded. Iowa is ranked last in the country for on-site ombudsman visits made to care facilities in our state. In 2018, the Iowa office visited just 10% of all the state care facilities, while the national average was 72%. Due to multiple state budget cuts, the long-term care ombudsman are being told to investigate complaints over the phone or on Skype, which is not a workable solution for Iowans in these facilities. Office of the Long-Term Ombudsman is willfully understaffed. The Statute of Medicine recommends one full-time ombudsman for every 2,000 long-term care beds. Iowa needs at least 26 long-term care ombudsmen to meet this recommendation. Iowa currently has 6 staff performing this duty. Inadequate leadership and management of the Office of the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman, lack of communication to local long-term care ombudsman volunteers and other advocates, the volunteer long-term care ombudsman program has plummeted from over 150 volunteers to just a few dozen volunteers today. While these facts are troubling, it is even more troubling that the long-term care Ombudsman is not bringing these issues directly to the legislature to make improvements. Instead, we are hearing from advocates and volunteers who are witnessing these failures firsthand. Advocate concerns continue to go unanswered. It is our role as the legislature to make sure vulnerable Iowans have access to long-term care ombudsman. The program is currently failing our seniors, and I hope you join me in calling for answers from Cynthia Peterson. You can also reference different legislation that is out but has not yet moved. I will email that information to your all House members. Thank you.
Seeing no further business come before the House, you have all heard the motion for the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House is adjourned.